VolitionRx, a multinational epigenetics company revolutionizing cancer diagnosis with the development of simple, easy-to-use, cost-effective blood tests involving a range of cancers and other diseases. Volition's clinical trials in human health have shown promising results in detecting several cancer types, including colorectal, lung, and a variety of bloodborne cancers. VolitionRx. Web address, volition.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Farewell Titanic author Charles Pellegrino is here with me, and we're reviewing the events of April 1912. It is now April 14th, very late in the evening, after the 11th hour. But we start earlier in the day because the Titanic is sailing to set a record from Southampton to New York. This is its maiden voyage. Captain Edward Smith commanding. The success of the Titanic will, of course, bring great attention to the White Star Line. And these are the days when the 1900 to 1915, an enormous number of immigrants are coming from Eastern Europe and Southern Europe to America. And many of those immigrants are third-class passengers below decks, where the portals are open because of the heat from the coal fire. But the ice field, Charlie, there are a number of ships out there that night warning of the ice field. Did the Titanic hear those warnings, and what did they do about it?
They received the warnings. Some of them were sent to the bridge. The captain knew about the warnings. There was Mrs. M. Ryerson. She saw the captain and Ismay actually discussing one of the ice warnings, and a decision was made to just keep going on. At that time, the protocol in the vicinity of ice was to basically keep cracking on and put the danger behind you as quickly as possible. It was pretty bizarre to think that way. And it was Ernest Shackleton actually spoke at the inquiry, and he explained that when they were in the vicinity of ice in Antarctica, that he moved on at about maybe 2 miles an hour fastest when they had ice all around them. And one of the examiners said, well, where did that get you? How did you get anywhere? And he said, well, we all got back alive, didn't we?
How fast was Titanic sailing at the time of
roughly coming? In miles per hour, about 25 miles an hour.
Which is not its maximum speed. So there was some adjustment, even though it was looking to set a record. All right.
That was just about its maximum speed, actually. The Titanic was built. There were a couple of ships that could go faster that were being built by the Germans, but and the White Star Line knew they were not going to make any great record run. So they put instead much more luxury into the ship.
The warnings are starting in the evening, and they make their way, as you report, through the various layers. Is it significant that the Marconi wireless crew, was not a member of the crew, that they were Marconi employees? Did that interrupt the reporting status in some fashion?
It did have some effect, almost certainly, and they were no one really recognized the value of Marconi until the Titanic. And in fact, it's the Marconi apparatus. One reason boats were going off half empty is because people knew stories about castaways. And Marconi, this apparatus was pretty new. In fact, the Titanic's was one of the most, on a ship, it was the most powerful Marconi apparatus on the planet at the time. So one of the very first very loud radio signals going out from planet Earth was actually the SOS from the Titanic. People thought you could be adrift, you could starve to death out there, die of thirst. They thought the lifeboat was much more dangerous than the Titanic. They didn't quite understand, the passengers, that a ship would be coming soon, that you probably wouldn't be adrift even for a day, that survival was coming toward you by sunrise.
The lookouts, Frederick Fleet and Reginald Lee, they spot ice ahead. They spotted about 11:40 local time at the time. They gave the warning. Was the warning adequate? Did the ship respond in some fashion to the warning?
I don't think the warning made any difference at all because the iceberg was up to the height of the boat deck. It was a night with no moon. So the in front of you, the entire surface of the ocean is just black, like a black sheet of glass. And you can only see the stars around you on the horizon. And what they first saw of the iceberg was something happening up ahead that was beginning to eclipse some of the stars. And they knew that could only be an iceberg. And they made a call to the Marconi shack, to the bridge. Now, the iceberg was the height of the boat deck. So from the height of the crow's nest at that angle, they couldn't have seen the tip of the iceberg against the horizon until the ship was within half its own length of the iceberg. It hit about 10 seconds after they first saw it. The call was made to the bridge, and Frederick Fleet, who survived, said that he was on the call to the bridge, and the ship seemed to be changing direction as he was still on the phone during about 5 seconds. And he thought later that it was the iceberg that changed the direction of the ship, and he was probably perfectly correct. Officer William Murdoch was on the wing bridge to the starboard side of the bridge, actually. So he was about at least 40 feet lower than the crow's nest and had probably an earlier view of the iceberg eclipsing the stars ahead because he was already on the bridge shouting orders when the call was made from the crow's nest.
All right, the strike is made. You've already reported about 12 square feet. What was the procedure at the time when you strike ice? To stop or to keep going?
Well, what happened was they struck the ice. And at first, it's like, wow, that was a close shave. Everyone kind of thought a close shave. And the captain is now on the bridge. And after they strike, the first orders that went down from the bridge were stop, full reverse, and also to try to turn away from the iceberg and maybe go around the iceberg. But there was no time to do anything. I believe that the Titanic struck the iceberg at exactly the angle it was aimed at the moment the call came from the crow's nest and William Murdoch running onto the bridge from the starboard wing bridge. So probably in the way after impact that if your car bumps something or you go over a really bad pothole and you might slow down and then drive to see how the steering is handling, go very slow ahead to see if you've damaged your axle or something. And that's probably why Smith ordered, okay, all ahead slow. And they could feel probably right away through the steering that something was not right. And that would have been the mass of water starting to come in on one side, that the ship wasn't handling quite right. And one other thing that happened that we know from crew who came running up onto the forecastle of the ship, that they saw almost 30 seconds after impact that they passed by another iceberg.
All right, we'll leave it there, Charlie.
We'll call to a stop.
We'll rescue what we can when we continue this conversation next week because the arrival of the rescue ship in New York begins the headlines that continue about the sinking of the SS Titanic. Charles Pellegrino, Farewell Titanic is his book. The Titanic's going down. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.